Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, we'll begin in that passage here in our lesson this morning, Psalm 23. I put together a textual study on Psalm 23 for the meeting at Elm Grove this past week. A couple of you were there for that lesson, and so we will look at this psalm from a different angle here this morning so that this lesson won't be a repeat for you. But in studying Psalm 23, I noticed a number of helpful principles that I wanted to share with everyone here, and so we will look at some of those this morning, not doing a verse-by-verse study of the psalm, but looking at the theme of the Lord as our shepherd. And we will dig into some key lessons related to this that are applicable to us. I appreciate Brother Mike leading that song just before I got up here. It's going to be a good lead into what we're focusing on here in our lesson this morning. There in Psalm 23 in verse 1, the inspired psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And as we begin thinking about this theme of the Lord is our shepherd, I just want to take a step back and consider this analogy of sheep and shepherds. It's interesting how many times in Scripture God uses this analogy to illustrate spiritual truths. Sometimes He uses the analogy of shepherds to refer to leaders of a group of people. And we see that, of course, in the New Testament with elders or overseers in a local church being referred to as shepherds of the flock. Sometimes He refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. But we also see instances in which God the Father and or Christ are referred to as our shepherd and we His sheep. And that's the analogy that we want to concentrate on here in our lesson this morning, as we think about this idea of the Lord being our shepherd. And one of the first points that we want to consider as we think about this idea of the Lord as our shepherd is to just stop and think about how helpless sheep are without the guidance and protection and understanding of a reliable shepherd. Sheep do not by themselves know how to take care of themselves. If sheep are left to just decide for themselves what way is best, they are going to very likely go quickly into trouble. And the same is true with mankind in a spiritual sense. When we look to our own thoughts and ideas for direction in life, we are very quickly going to go off into spiritual danger. Over in Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 12, we have the familiar statement there made that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so as you imagine a sheep going off down a path that is different from what the shepherd wants, a sheep that thinks it knows better than the shepherd, that sheep may think going off this way is a great idea. It may look that way in the eyes of the sheep with that sheep's limited understanding. But we can understand from a human perspective that that sheep is very likely going to go off into danger. They're going to face disease. They're going to face hunger. They're very likely going to face death pretty quickly as they decide to go off on their own rather than accepting the direction of the shepherd. And the same is true with us in a spiritual sense as we think about our relationship to God. When mankind thinks that he knows better than God, when mankind thinks, I can figure out for myself how I ought to live, how I ought to behave, that is a surefire way to go off into spiritual death, spiritual starvation, spiritual disease, because we do not understand for ourselves the path that we ought to go. Instead, it's our shepherd that has that perfect understanding. In Isaiah 55 and verse 9, the point is made there that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. That is how far superior God's understanding is to ours. And if we again stop and think about this in the analogy of a shepherd relative to sheep, there's a lot of things that a shepherd may guide his sheep to do that the sheep really don't understand why they have to do this. But if they are the sheep that they ought to be, that I believe most sheep are, they will follow the shepherd in the direction that he tells them to go. And that is the way in which we ought to submit to the Lord as our shepherd, recognizing that even if we can't understand why he has commanded something, why he has told us this is his will for us, his understanding is far superior to ours, and we just need to trust his wisdom and go down the path that he leads. But as we think about the Lord as our shepherd and what a wonderful thing it is for him to be our shepherd, we want to recognize not only does he understand perfectly how to take care of us and what way is best for us, but he also has perfect love and care for us so that he has determined to use that wisdom and understanding that he has to lead us if we will follow down the path that is best for us. If you look over in John chapter 10, we have another passage here that uses this sheep shepherd analogy. It's one in which Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. And we won't focus on this passage for most of our lesson here this morning, but I did want to make one point from this as we think about what Jesus says in verses 11 through 13 here of this chapter. He mentions in verse 11, he says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, he first says that to contrast himself with the thieves mentioned in verse 10 who seek harm for the sheep in order to get good for themselves. But then it's interesting in verses 12 and 13 who he goes on to contrast with himself. Jesus says, "He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep." So notice here as Jesus contrasts himself with this hireling, the hireling isn't necessarily seeking to harm the sheep directly in the way that the thief is. And he may care for the sheep to a certain extent, but the point made here about the hireling is that when danger comes, the hireling thinks about himself. He thinks, "I've got to protect me. I've got to make sure I'm cared for," rather than focusing on the well-being of his sheep. And Jesus says, "I, as a good shepherd, am not like that." He says, "I'm thinking about the well-being of my sheep." Jesus, just in the fact that God the Son chose to come to this earth, we see demonstrated the fact that Jesus was not here to do things that were going to bring comfort and pleasure to himself. Rather, he came and did all the things that he did in order to allow us to have the chance to be saved. It's for our good. It's for our well-being. That's how much Jesus is our good shepherd, cares for us. And the same can be said by extension about God the Father. There's a lot of overlap when we think about God the Father and Jesus as our shepherd. There's the same points that could be made of both for the most part. And certainly that's true when we think about God the Father and God the Son, that God cares for us very much and is thus going to use that understanding to help us in ways that he knows best. One application that we can glean of this principle of our shepherd's care for us is seen over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7. It gives the command there to cast all our anxiety upon him, and then it mentions, "because he careth for you." And that to me is such an amazing verse to stop and consider. Not only do we have the privilege of being able to communicate with our Creator and ask for his help, but God actually wants us to do that because he cares so much for us. He's not one who is just willing to answer us and hear us if we knock on the door and he says, "Well, okay, in that case, I'll listen to your needs." He wants us to come to him. He wants us to knock on the door in a figurative sense. He wants us to go to him because he cares so much about us that he wants to help us in ways in accordance with His will. And so it's wonderful to consider as we think about the Lord as our shepherd that, number one, He understands perfectly. He knows exactly what is best for us, what direction we ought to go. And then, number two, He cares for us perfectly so that He is led to use that wisdom and understanding to help us in ways that He knows is best. And that leads us into a third point about our great shepherd, and that is the fact that He is one who we can rely upon to provide for us. Notice over in Psalm 23, this time in verse 2. In Psalm 23, this time in verse 2, it mentions, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now think about at least three different provisions that are referenced there in that verse, using the analogy again of a sheep being provided for by his shepherd. The point is made, lie down, that has the idea of rest. Green pastures, that's the idea of food satisfying hunger. And then still waters helps us to understand that water was provided, thirst was satisfied by the great shepherd. And so sheep, in a literal sense, need to have a reliable shepherd to make sure that they are nourished with what they need food-wise and water-wise, and that they have a place to rest, and that they're able to be free from predators and from danger. And all of these things help us to understand spiritually what our shepherd does for us. Our shepherd provides nourishment for us through his word. He provides the spiritual food and drink that we need. He provides spiritual rest for us. He also provides for us in terms of our temporal needs. And there's a lot to be thankful for there as well. But I believe the primary implication here is the spiritual provision of God, the fact that as long as we submit to the Lord as our shepherd, we can trust that things are going to be okay because of how perfect of a provider he is. Over in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, the point is made there that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, that verse doesn't tell us that if we serve God faithfully, we are going to be showered with great material possessions as we're here on earth, and all of our wants and wishes that we could ever imagine are going to be satisfied if we serve God faithfully. Although if we do serve God faithfully, our wants and wishes are going to primarily focus on spiritual things. But it doesn't teach us here that we're going to be showered with temporal blessings if we serve God faithfully, but it does help us to see that things are going to be okay. The point is that if we are serving God faithfully, we can have that contentment that results from knowing things work out okay. Even in a temporal sense, things work out okay, but ultimately, even if we face physical hardships as we're here on this earth, if we submit to the Lord as our shepherd, we know that in the long run, things are going to work out okay for us because of our perfect shepherd who provides for those who are his faithful sheep. But one last point to make about the shepherd, and then we'll get into some things related to the sheep, is to recognize that our shepherd perfectly leads. He perfectly understands, he perfectly cares, he perfectly provides, and he also perfectly leads those who are willing to follow him in the way that they ought to go. Notice back there in Psalm 23 and verse 3 this time, it mentions, speaking of the Lord, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so just as literal sheep need to be led, they need to be led to places where they can graze, where they can feed on what they need in order to satisfy their hunger. They need to be led to water so that they can drink. They need to be led somewhere where they don't have to face disease, where they don't have to face the harm of predators. They need to be led in a direction that is right for them. And when they are led in a direction that's right for them, that speaks credit to the shepherd. And this analogy is used here in Psalm 23 and verse 3 to say, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our shepherd brings glory to his name when we choose to follow in the way that he leads, as we see that the way he leads is the perfect paths of righteousness, the way that is best for us. And as we think about this principle, I want to notice something that's said over in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, this is the passage that talks about all Scripture being given by inspiration of God. And it mentions in verse 16 four things that Scripture is profitable for. It mentions, number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, correction. And then number four, instruction in righteousness. And in verse 17, it mentions that Scripture truly equips us for every good work. And so as we look at this, we can understand that God, through His Word, and He can also do things through His providence in accordance with His wisdom, but through the means that He's determined, He leads us perfectly down the path that we ought to go if we will just choose to follow His lead. And it is just amazing when we piece all of this together and when we think about what makes a perfect shepherd. This is who God is in a spiritual sense. He perfectly understands what's best for us. He perfectly cares for us. He perfectly provides for us. And He perfectly leads us down the path that we ought to go if we will simply choose to follow. And so now I want to turn the attention to the sheep's perspective. In light of what we understand about the Lord as our shepherd, we want to consider some things that this implies about us as sheep. Number one, notice that sheep need direction. And this takes a lot of humility to acknowledge this. There are some individuals who have the approach to life that, well, I'm self-sufficient, I'm independent, I can take care of myself, I don't need anybody, I'm my own boss and I'm going to do what I want to do. And it takes humility to acknowledge, no, I need direction. I'm like that sheep. That sheep, in a literal sense, doesn't really know at all how to take care of himself. He needs a shepherd to tell him, this is where you need to go. And the same is true with us in a spiritual sense. We need our shepherd to tell us the direction that we ought to go in order for us to have spiritual security and safety and health and well-being. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, we have the familiar statement made there by Jesus about this broad way that he says leads to destruction. And he says there's many going down that path. And then he says there's this narrow path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. There are so many individuals who are like sheep without a shepherd, thinking, I know what's best for my life. I'm going to live how I want. Or maybe I'm just going to follow the crowd, follow the majority. And so many individuals go down that path and think, I've got it all figured out. And the truth is, Jesus says, the many going down that broad path are headed for destruction. They are like sheep who have no idea that their rebellion against the shepherd is leading to their demise. And it's interesting, as we think about this point, what Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, or rather what the inspired writer Matthew said about Jesus in Matthew 9:36. He said there that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's what our life is like when we choose to direct our own steps, when we choose to be our own guide, when we choose to allow someone besides the Lord to be our shepherd, someone who is not leading us down the path that the Lord prescribes. We are like sheep having no shepherd, going down a path of disease and death and facing all kinds of danger and hardships in a spiritual sense, thinking that we know better than the shepherd, but in reality, just bringing harm upon ourselves. We need the direction of our shepherd. He is the one who is out in front of us, if you will, leading us down that narrow path that leads to life. Jesus literally, as he walked this earth, walked in front of us to show us how to live that life that leads to eternal life in heaven with Him and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit forever. We need that direction in order to understand what is best for us. And so as we think about that direction that is needed by sheep, that leads us into another point about what sheep need, and that is that sheep need meekness. And what meekness is about, it's closely linked to humility, but it's a little bit different angle of looking at it. Meekness is really about allowing God to have His way with us, allowing God to mold us like clay, allowing God to guide us down the path that He wants us to go. It's about submitting to the instruction that God gives us. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 21, we have a verse there that helps us to understand this principle. James chapter 1 and verse 21, the command is first given there, put away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. And then it says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the implanted word. The opposite of meekness would be having an attitude more like that of Saul of Tarsus before his conversion. Saul of Tarsus before his conversion was said of Jesus said of him that he was kicking against the pricks in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. And what that meant was he was rebelling against the will of God, and he was just bringing harm upon himself because of all these things that he was doing in violation of the will of God. And what God calls upon us to have is the exact opposite approach to that, to have an approach to God where we'll just allow Him to guide us and lead us in whatever direction we ought to go. And that really relates to this sheep shepherd principle, because if we think about a literal sheep who rebels against his shepherd, says, nope, I'm going to go do this, even though you're telling me to do this, that sheep is just going to end up lost and in danger and bringing harm upon himself instead of allowing the shepherd to guide him down the path that he ought to go. But now for the next part of this lesson, I want to focus on some things that ought to be true of us and can be true of us if we choose to accept and submit to the Lord as our shepherd. And one thing that can and should be true of us if we choose to submit to the Lord as our shepherd is that we don't need to be anxious over the various trials and things that we face in life. Notice over in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6, the instruction is given there, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now the specific thing mentioned there to avoid this anxiety is going to God in prayer. And what that alludes to more generally is the trust that we have in Him. In other words, as His children, as His sheep, we simply need to follow where He leads. We need to just allow Him to guide us and direct us. And then when we run into things that are out of our control, just leave that to Him. Go to Him in prayer, cast your cares on Him, and we therefore can be relieved of that anxiety. And by the way, the word for anxious there is a word that refers to something that's a distraction. And that's what happens whenever we allow anxieties to consume us. We end up being distracted from what our focus ought to be in life. And the inspired Apostle Paul here, writing with many hardships himself, said, you don't need to be this way. Instead, he says, cast your cares on God. He says, focus on what's in your control. Control what you can control, which is to be obedient sheep of the shepherd, and leave the rest to God and trust in Him. And by having that trust in Him as our great shepherd who perfectly cares for us, we can be allowed to be relieved of this anxiety. And something that is closely connected to that, that's an additional point to consider, is that as the Lord's sheep, we need not fear. And what I mean by that is not we need not fear Him. We do need to have a proper godly reverence and reverence and godly fear. But what I mean by that is we need not fear the various hardships that we face in life, We need not fear what man may do to us if we choose to submit to the will of the Lord. Instead, we need to trust in our shepherd and realize that he is far more powerful than anyone or anything else that we might face. Over in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, we have another verse in which Jesus used this sheep shepherd analogy, referring to the ones who would be his apostles as little flock. He was talking there in that passage about basic necessities of life in the verses leading up to this. And so that kind of goes back to the last point about the fact that as the Lord's sheep, we don't need to be anxious over those temporal things of life. But he goes on to say to them, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And as we think about what help this would have been to the apostles as they took the gospel into the whole world, the apostles faced a tremendous amount of persecution when they took the gospel into the whole world. And Jesus gave this encouragement to them, "You don't need to fear. You just focus on your Father. He is far more powerful than anyone or anything you face, and it has been determined by Him that He is going to give you all of the blessings associated with being citizens of His kingdom. So you just focus on Him, and you have no reason to fear the various things that you may face." And the same is true of us as the Lord's sheep. When we think about our shepherd, when we think about how much greater our shepherd is than any spiritual predators, how much greater our shepherd is than any diseases or dangers that we might face in a spiritual sense, we can trust our shepherd. He is going to perfectly care for us and provide for us in accordance with His wisdom. If we'll just submit to Him, we have no reason to fear the things that may result. But that leads us into our next point about what the Lord's sheep's attitude should be towards Him as our shepherd, as we see that the Lord's sheep should trust Him. And that's really what this overcoming anxieties and fears is all about, is about having the trust in God that we ought to have. Notice back again in Psalm 23, this time down at verse 4. Psalm 23, this time down at verse 4, the inspired psalmist there says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Now, David understood a lot about this shepherd-sheep principle. He was a shepherd in at least two senses. He was a shepherd of literal sheep before being called by God to be a shepherd over the nation of Israel. And as he used this language, it's interesting to consider, and of course he was writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit first and foremost, but it's interesting to consider what David would have been thinking as he used this language and to really appreciate the depth of what he meant here. Because as sheep were led by a shepherd, sometimes they might go through a valley in which there were predators, there was a potential for disease, there was a potential for all kinds of different hardships that might come about them. And David points out that as he faces trials in life that are likened to this valley of the shadow of death, he says, "I'll fear no evil." He says, "I'm like a sheep who can go through that valley and have zero worries about facing any hardships because I know my shepherd's going to take care of me." He says, that's what it's like when I submit to the Lord as my shepherd. "I'll fear no evil," he says, "because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." It is the care and the understanding and the provision and the leadership of God that led David to have this confidence. It wasn't a false confidence in himself that he was just way more powerful than any other person or anything he might face. It was the confidence he had in his shepherd that as long as he followed after him, he was going to be okay. And this is expanded on even a little bit more when we get down to verse 6. And he uses that phrase there, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word "surely" there wasn't saying that surely I can never possibly fall from grace. He was saying, surely if I abide in the doctrine of the shepherd, if I continue to follow after him, I know things are going to be okay. I'm going to have many blessings and I'm maybe going to face hardships, but ultimately things are going to work out for good because I can trust that my shepherd is going to take care of me. And that trust that we can have in the Lord as our shepherd then leads us into another point about the Lord's sheep, and that is that we should be content with whatever our lot is in life. Notice over in Philippians chapter 4, this is probably the most common passage to turn to as we talk about contentment. Philippians chapter 4, you recall that Paul was writing this epistle from prison. He was writing with a lot of uncertainties about his future, and yet he was just overwhelmed with joy and gratitude throughout the things that he said in this epistle. But in verse 10 of this chapter, he thanked the Philippian brethren for a gift that they sent to him by the hands of Epaphroditus, but he says, it's not that I speak in respect of one. In other words, it's not that I just have to have this gift, because he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he goes on to say in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And that's the preface for the very familiar statement, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His emphasis here, as he talked about this contentment, is that as long as he was serving the Lord faithfully, he could trust that everything else was going to be okay, and that gave him a sense of being content in life, being okay with whatever his circumstances were. It doesn't mean that he never did anything to try to improve various struggles that he may have had in life, but if he had trials and hardships, and he had a bunch of them, when he had trials and hardships, he realized, if this is what's going to come upon me as I'm here on earth, and so be it. He says, I can be okay with it because I know that I have a Lord who is far more powerful than anything that I face, and that ultimately things are going to work out for good as long as I just choose to submit to Him. And that principle is certainly true of us as well. That phrase back in Psalm 23 and verse 1, the second half of the verse, when it says, I shall not want. That's really what that phrase is getting at, is this point that as long as we are submissive to the Lord as our shepherd, we are going to have everything that we need, and therefore we can have contentment with whatever temporal circumstances we might face. But an additional point that follows up upon this contentment is the fact that the Lord's sheep can be at peace. If you just imagine for a moment the anxiety that a sheep would have if a sheep has a shepherd that doesn't really know whether certain pasture is good for food or certain pasture is going to leave them hungry or leave them diseased. If you could imagine the anxiety of a sheep that has a shepherd who doesn't have the understanding or the concern to fend off predators that might come their way. If you can imagine all of the anxiety and the worry that may come upon a sheep in that situation, that's what it would be like if we had a shepherd that wasn't reliable and caring like our shepherd is. But when we have a shepherd like the Father, a perfect shepherd, who perfectly provides, who perfectly leads, who perfectly cares, we can be at peace no matter what our circumstances are, knowing that things are ultimately going to be okay. And this peace that we're talking about is specifically an inner peace. As we see identified in Philippians 4 and verse 7, it mentions that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And that follows up upon that command to cast our cares upon Him, paraphrasing verse 6 there. And the point is that if we will control what's in our control, serve God faithfully, and then leave to Him those things out of our control, and trust in Him like we should, then we can have this inner peace that surpasses all understanding, that comes as a result of knowing just how powerful and wonderful our Lord is, who's watching out for us and listening to those prayers that we cast on Him. And then finally, as we think about all of these points and really tying them all together, one thing that we can understand that we should be as the Lord's sheep, is that we should be grateful to our great shepherd for all the things that he does for us in providing these blessings as he does. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 is a verse that mentions that we should in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's really interesting to me, it's two words in the King James Version, everything, in everything, give thanks. You notice here he didn't say, if things in life go just like you want them, give thanks. Certainly if things are going positive for us, that can be reason to go to God and give thanks. But he doesn't say that here. He doesn't say, if things go your way, give thanks. He doesn't say, if you are really having a very positive life right now, you're not facing any hardships, well, that's reason for you to give thanks. He says, in everything, give thanks. He says, no matter what kind of circumstances you're facing, whether you're facing great, wonderful temporal blessings right now, or whether you're facing a lot of hardships, give thanks to God. There's so many more things to be thankful for than there are trials to be anxious over when we stop and think about all that our great shepherd does for us. And that leads into another phrase that we want to consider in Psalm 23 in verse 5 there. That phrase, my cup runneth over. That's the reality of life with the Lord as our shepherd. My cup runneth over. No matter what hardships we face, they just don't even compare. If we will count our blessings and weigh them, compare the great blessings of God relative to the trials that we face, it's like a sheep that has a perfect shepherd, provides everything that that sheep needs, and just allows that sheep to have rest and have food and have water in abundance, and make sure that sheep is never harmed, and that sheep might have a little pest someday that just that sheep ends up getting so worked up over, thinking this is just such an awful thing, and that sheep sits there and thinks, I just cannot be satisfied, I can't be happy because of this little pest. And just stop and think about that sheep's life in the grand perspective. That sheep has a shepherd who makes sure that sheep has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life for a sheep. And that same principle is true in a spiritual sense, when we think about what our shepherd does for us. Those anxieties that we face in life, they are really just small pests relative to the wonderful blessings that our spiritual shepherd provides for us. When we appreciate God and who he is and what he does, we'll have this mentality, my cup runneth over, no matter what things we may face in life. And so as we come back to this point, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I hope that we can better appreciate some things related to this theme, recognizing what this really says. When we proclaim this with David, when we sing this in our songs, what we're really saying when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we're acknowledging that we fully trust in him and we're at peace, we're content because of our faith that we have in him. We don't lack any good thing, anything that we need in order to be spiritually safe and secure and well. He provides all of our necessities. He leads us in the direction that we should go. And so with him as our shepherd, we can have a wonderful, wonderful life, even in a temporal sense. And ultimately, we can know that we're going down a path that's going to lead us to eternal life in heaven, as long as we just keep following down that way that the shepherd leads. And I hope that this lesson has helped us to better appreciate some of these principles. For those who are here this morning who are not a part of that fold of safety, we'd encourage you to stop and think about what it is that you're missing. Those individuals who aren't a part of that fold of safety are like sheep who decide, I know better than the shepherd, and they start going off down some path that is just leading to their demise, going to ultimately lead to their death. When we go down a path in direct rebellion to the shepherd, we face spiritual death. We face spiritual hunger. We face spiritual disease. We face all of the things in life that are hardships that result from being separated from our perfect shepherd who provides for us and cares for us and offers us blessings that just don't even compare to what the world offers. And so we'd encourage you, if you're not yet a Christian, to make the choice to become one, make the choice to enter that fold of safety. We'd encourage you, if you believe on Him, Jesus is His Son, to confess that, to turn from your sin in repentance and be baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sins. And for those who are Christians, if you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. In either case, won't you come forward as we stand and sing?